Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome. Today's Daf is Psachim Kuf Yud Aleph. We are on the third line from the top of the Amud. Amar Rabba Bar Barchana Amar Rabbi Yechna Mishmei, in the name of the Rabbi Yehuda Brabiloi. He gives us some good budgeting advice. Echoil Batzal, one should eat cheaply, you should eat onions or vegetables, keep the food budget in check. V'shev b'tzel, this will allow him to sit in shade, to afford his place of dwelling. So divert your money to maintaining a proper place of dwelling. So it's a play on words. Echoil b'tzel v'shev b'tzel. V'loy seichel avozon v'tarnagoylen. Don't eat high-quality food. Don't engage in extravagant meals. Avozin, ducks, v'tarnagel, and chickens. V'hei libcha roidef alecha. And then your heart will desire to maintain that standard of living. And even when he can no longer afford it, he'll just keep on going, borrow money, live beyond his means, and then be pursued by his creditors. So keep the budget within your limits and no foreclosures. You won't have to worry about deficits and debt ceilings. Minimize from your food and your drink. V'toisif al dirascha, and add on your dwelling, meaning divert your funds to purposes of dira, to maintain a proper place of dwelling, which is higher in the set of priorities. Dira takes precedence over high-end meals. Ki also Ula, when Ula came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he related the following mashal. Misla maslan marav. Misla is a mashal. They would be mamshal a mashal. They present analogy in Eretz Yisrael as follows. Again, playing on words and teaching us the same message. The ochel alisa, one who chooses to eat gourmet foods, alisa, the tail, the high fat, the fatty portion of the animal. Tashi balisa. Eventually he's going to have to hide up in the attic when his creditors come after him. Or some say the butcher will come after him. The ochel kekulu, as opposed to a fellow who suffices with just the kekulu, yorakos. He keeps his budget within limits. Akikli is on the trash heap. The masa of the city, shachiv, he lies, meaning he joins the crowd, he's not in hiding, because he owes no one any money. So the good advice is, live within limits, cut the budget, and this way you'll ensure that you live a free and happy life without being pursued by creditors. Continues the Gemara, Mazgulay Kaisrishin. Okay, now we're back to the Seder. We know the four Kaisa Shalyayin were established by the Chachamim to be Mefarsim the Nes, to highlight the Nes of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why we have four Kaisas, so that we can say the Kiddush, which welcomes the day. We can say the Haggadah, which describes the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We can say Halal, Bechamazin, with the Kaisa Shalyayin, which gives it prominence, it gives it Chashivas. You know, you sit down to a cup of wine. Wine was the beverage of choice. So doing these things, the Haggadah, etc., together with a Kais of Yayin, that brings out the prominence and significance of the event. Mazgulay Kais Rishon, they poured on the first Kais. Why does it say Mazgulay? Mefarshim and Shulchan Aruch point to the fact that a person is meant to be, meant to exhibit Cheirus, freedom on that night. Therefore, you're meant to pour him the Kais, and rather than pouring it for himself. So we're all supposed to have others pour it for us. This way, we exhibit chiras. Mazguloi kais rishon, which was the kais designated for kiddush. Now, how do you go about making kiddush? This isn't really just specific to Pesach. It's actually a machlekes, which applies to any kiddush, even a Shabbos kiddush. And it's brought in the Gemara Brachis. We have machlekes between Yisham and Yisilal regarding the seder, the sequence of the brachas of Kiddush. We know there's a standard bracha of Hagafen, another bracha called Birchas Hayoim, Asher Kitchano, Mitzvot Sabrotzabana, which highlights the Kiddusha is Mishabeach the day. Which one goes first? The Hagafen or the hayoim, the bracha of the yom. B'shama emrim mevarach al hayoim. First comes the bracha of the yom. That takes precedence. V'achach mevarach al hayoim. Afterwards, and only then comes the bracha of hagafen, as the Gemara will explain. Ubisalim, just the opposite. Mivarech alayayin, first you make the bracha of agafen, of achakach. Mivarech alayayin, then afterwards comes the bracha describing the yayim, whether it's Shabbos or Pesach. Tanu Rabbanan, dvorim, shibayim bishamay bisil basuda. We have several items, points of contention between bishamay bisil, which are pseudo related issues. Now, of course, here we're only going to discuss the Kiddush, the rest is brought in the Gemara Brachis. First comes the bracha of the day, and then the bracha of agafen. And Bishamay provides two reasons. Number one, what is the catalyst? What is the goyrim? Why are you mechuyev to drink wine before the suda? Since when does one have an obligation to have a cup of wine before his suda? There's only one reason, because today is Shabbos, today is Yom Pesach. So the day is the goyim, it's the catalyst, it precipitates the yayin's arrival. It presents the yayin before the suda. And therefore, the yayin is higher on that list of priorities. It's higher up on that pyramid, and it is meant to be addressed first. You make the bracha on the yayin, and then afterwards on the yayin. Number two, ukvar kiddush hayoyim v'adayin yayin loy ba. What came first, as far as the timing of events? What did you encounter first? The day. Rashbam explains, as soon as yitzias kechavim arrives, teisa kechavim, you have yom tov. But wine has not yet arrived. You haven't yet been presented with wine by your table, still a davening and shul. So the yayin arrives before the yayin. And therefore, when it comes to your personal involvement, your personal chiyuv, what are you going to address first? What are you going to tend to first? What you've experienced first. We know that when you have a mitzvah opportunity in front of you, you may not push it aside to do another mitzvah. Ein ma'vir in all mitzvahs. There's still a concept here. What did you experience first? The day. So address the day first. Make the bracha relating to the yayin first, and then on the yayin. Whereas the first factor, the first reason, which was that the yoyim is goyrim liyayin sheyavay, that appears to be related to the actual item at hand. You have the yoyim, you have the yayin. Which one supersedes the other? Which one is more important? Which one has more chashivas in the context of the kiddush? The yoyim, because that brings the yayin to the table. So Beishamay are addressing two separate aspects of why. Why yoyim precedes yayin. Number one was on account of the actual chefes, the chefza, the object, so to speak, of the yayin, the entity of yayin, which carries greater weight than the yayin because it brings the yayin. And the second element was the personal interaction. What does he have first? What did he encounter first? The yayin came first. And therefore he's meant to address and tend to that first, and then the yayin. So according to Beishamay, yayin and then yayin. Ubisil oimrim, just the opposite. Mivarach al yayin, v'achach mivarach al yayin. First you make the bracha on yayin, hagaf, and then the bracha of kiddush hayayin. And why? And they also present two reasons, two counter arguments. Number one, b'pnei shayayin, goyrim l'kiddush sheti oimrim. Because it's actually the wine which will enable the kiddush to be said. If you have no wine, or as the Rashbam says, you have no bread, right? Bread is an alternative to wine when it comes to Kiddush. Either way, if you have no material on which you're going to make your Kiddush, you can't make Kiddush. So they flip the Svara in the other direction. Beishamay says, the day is the Goyrim. Basil says, well, Goyrim? Actually, the Yayin is the Goyrim. Because no Yayin, no Kiddush. And therefore, the Birchas HaYayin takes precedence. Dover Acher. Another reason, an additional reason here, which is not actually Kiddush related, it's a global concept, which again will lead us in this direction, to be Magdim the Yayin. Birchas Hayayin Tedira. The Bracha of Agafen is something which is commonly said. Birchas Hayayin Eina Tedira, as opposed to the Bracha of Kiddush, which is a it's not a constant thing. More often do you make Hagafen than you make Kiddush. Kiddush is once a week. And therefore we have a general rule which says, Tadr, Sheinei Tadr, if we're faced with a choice, something that can be done, which is Tadr, it's a constant thing, as opposed to another thing, which is something uncommon, which one takes precedence? Tadr Kaidim. The Tadr precedes and advances the Eina Tadr, and therefore the Yayin and the Brichas HaYayin comes before the Brichas HaYayin. So according to Basil, we have two counter-arguments to explain why Yayin comes first. Number one, Yayin is the catalyst. Yayin enables the Kiddush to be said. And therefore, Yayin comes before Kiddush HaYayin. Number two, Yayin is Tadr. And therefore, that precedes the uncommon bracha, which is the Birchas HaYayin. The Brisa concludes, V'ilchaso k'divri Basilel. The halacha follows Basil, as we do today. First Hagafen, and then Asher Kitchanim Mitzvah. Says the Gemara, why did Basilel have to go look for another additional reason of Tadr, V'shein Tadr, this global concept, which doesn't really relate to Kiddush? Why was that needed? Why do you have to add that to the equation? My davar achat, why do you need another reason? And the answer is, V'chitei ma'asam tarati v'chachada, perhaps. Hasam Tarti. Beishami presented two arguments to explain why Yoyim precedes the Yayin. V'chachada, but over here, meaning I, Beisil, only have one. You only have one reason, because the Yayin is Goyim the Yayim. The Yayin enables the Kiddush Hayim to be said. So you have two reasons to be magged in the Yoyim, Beishami's reasons, and I only have one reason. So it's two against one, we should follow Beishami. And that's how he responded, by adding an additional factor. Hachanami, Tartinin, here as well we have two, which is Tadr, Shena Tadr, Tadr Kaidem, wine, which is a more commonly recited bracha, is considered Tadr. And it is considered superior, at least when it comes to be Magdim. It comes before the Shena Tadr, and therefore the Brichas Hayayin comes before Brichas Hayayin. Now the Brisa concluded, V'aloch g'div Basilel. We follow Basilel. It says, Pshita, it's common knowledge. Da'anafik Basko. The Gemara in Ervin tells us that for a very long time, there was I think it was 2.5 years, there was machlekes between Beishami and Basilel regarding who is the halacha going to follow. In addition to their machlekes, they also had another machlekes. Who does the halacha follow? Beishami and Basilel. And this went on for a while until a Basko, a heavenly voice, rung out and said, no. Basilel. Halacha k'div Basilel. And that's for all time, want to follow Basilel. So why does the Brisa here have to tell us, in this case as well, halacha is Basilel? We know. The Baskel already told us that we're meant to follow Basilel. The Gemara gives us two answers. Ibo Yisem, one shot is, Koyden Baskel. This Brisa was taught before the Baskel. And at that point, we hadn't yet learned this rule, that halacha k'div Basilel. And that's why the Brisa had to point out, in this case, we follow Basil. Another pshat is Lachar Baskel. Certainly, we're speaking post Baskel. Rabbi Yeshua, following Shitas Rabbi Yeshua, the Amar, Ein Mashkichim be Baskel. Generally speaking, we don't follow a Baskel. This was in the context of a story that the Gemara Bava Metzia relates, which is Rabbi Lezer, who's Cholek on the Rabbanon regarding a certain type of oven, which was split, was cut into pieces, and there was some sand placed in between the pieces, a non-adhesive material. Rabbi Lezer says, that's not a kli, it's a broken kli. Even though it's usable, but it's not one unit. It's sliced pieces of ovens just sitting together, and therefore it's not metame. It's not considered a kli, not mekabel tuma. The Chacham maintained it is mekabel tuma. There was a big machlekes. Rabbi Lezer stood his ground, and he objected to the shita of the Rabbim who opposed him. And the whole story in the Gemara of Lezer announced, well, if the halacha is in accordance with my shita, then the tree should get uprooted, the river, the stream should flow backwards, the kaisle beis hamedrash shechicho, the walls should lean, should fall down, and indeed all these things happen. In fact, he said, a baskel should prove my point, and a baskel came out. Why malachem etzer Rabbi Lezer? Why are you starting Rabbi Lezer? Shalacha kemoisei, the halacha follows the shita. So we have a baskel in support of Rabbi Lezer. And Rabbi Shua got up and says, no, absolutely not. We're not going to follow a baskel. The Torah is given to us earthlings down Ba'aretz. We don't introduce heavenly voices into the halachic equations. So Rabbi Shua made that blanket statement. We don't follow a baskel when it comes to halacha. Therefore, says the Gemara, apparently Rabbi Shua maintains that the other baskel, which came to paskin like Beis Hillel, is also not something meant to be followed. Rather, we're meant to decide the halacha case by case. There's no general formula, follow Beis Hillel. So according to Rabbi Shua, the Braisa found it necessary to conclude that in this case, the halacha follows Beis Hillel Shita. We first make the Hagafen and then Birchas Hayim. Now Tosfos points out that the other Shita, the Shita that does not hold like Rabbi Shua, held that although when it came to the Baskel, which rang out in support of Rabbi Lezer, we ignored the Baskel, that was because it was a Rabbim against him. And we're not going to follow a Baskel against the Halacha in the Torah, which says, follow the Rabbim, Achiram Lahadis. Additionally, Taisa says that the Baskel apparently only came forth to support Rabbi Lezer. Because he called out, he says, "Nashamayim yochichu," and the Baskel responded, "Leave Rabbi Lezer, halacha kemaisa." The point wasn't to actually paskin like Rabbi Lezer; it was just to give him support. Whereas the Gemara Erevin, where there was machlokes b'sham beis hillel, really, the halacha was meant to follow beis hillel because they're the roiv, achram lahatis. There were more talmidim in beis hillel than in beis sham. So why was a Baskel needed? Because the Gemara says the Talmidei Beis Shammai were sharper, mechadet itfei. And the question was whether quality supersedes quantity. And that's why we needed a baskel to say no. To reiterate the fact that even in that case, achri rabim lahatai, even they're somewhat inferior in their intellectual capacity, but still, the halacha follows the rav. So the baskel is just coming to reinforce an already known halacha, the achram lahatis, and that's why we follow the baskel, and we always passing like Beis Hillel. Rabbi Shua, however, disagrees. He says, "Ein mashgichim a baskel," which sounds like it's a general blanket statement. We never follow a baskel, and this price is following Rabbi Shua, and that's why even when it comes to Beis Hillel opposing Beis Shammai, we need the price to conclude halacha Beis Hillel, which isn't something we would automatically know. Continues the Mishnah. So we're done Kiddush. Now we're going to proceed with the Seder. Hevi lefanav, they presented him with a serving of vegetables. Rashbam says it could be all types of vegetables. It so happens that this Mishnah is speaking that they brought him some chazer, some lettuce, which is actually the first item on the murder list. It's preferred for murder. It so happens that that's what they brought him even for the first serving, which was not really meant to be used for the mitzvah mara. Heviu lefanav, metavel b'chazeres, he dips. This is a lashon we found elsewhere in Avri Pesachim. This was their manner of eating. They would take their vegetables, they would take their meat, and they would dip it. So it's just a term. Metavel b'chazeres, he would dip the chazeres, meaning he would have some of that vegetable. And the point was to create something unusual. A hacker for the tinoikis, for the youngsters, will say, well, since when do we have vegetables before the meal? And they'll start inquiring, getting involved, asking, and this will trigger a discussion, which will allow the father to get them emotionally involved in the discussion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You know, Reb Chaim Brisker says, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim at the Leil HaSeder is very different than the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim that we say on a daily basis at the end of Shemoneh Esrei and of Krishma Ani Hashem Asher Tzichem Mitzrayim. That's just a proclamation. When it comes to Sipur, which is on Pesach, that's meant to be a discussion. You're meant to experience Yetzias Mitzrayim. That only happens through Shaila V'Tshuva, asking and answering. When you have a shaila, then you're interested. You get drawn to the dialogue, to the discussion. And that's the point of doing things which will pique the children's interest, get them involved, and allow for a proper Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim experience. So that was the first serving of vegetables, which preceded the Suda. Ad Shemagila Parperes HaPas. This is meant to take place before he arrives at the next serving, which is the main serving of maror, which is called parperas hapas, an appetizer which accompanies the bread. The true maror, the mitzvah of maror, is meant to be with the matzah, al matzahs umaroyim. First you eat the matzah, and then the maror. So the first serving, the matabel b'chazeres, mentioned in the beginning of the Mishnah, precedes the primary, the second serving of chazeres, which only takes place later, which is called parperas hapas. The Mishnah continues, Hiviyu lefanav. Indeed, they presented him with the next course. Matzah v'chazeres, of course, is Haggadah in between. We're not getting involved in the actual, all the details at this point. We're skipping over the Haggadah. That's going to be discussed later, the later Mishnahs. Now we're just focusing on the servings of vegetables, which actually takes place in two phases. First, you have the Matzah v'chazeres, which we today call Karpas. Then we have the next one, which is Hiviyu lefanav Matzah v'chazeres, which this chazeres indeed is the mitzvah chazeres, which is meant to be eaten after the matzah, which is meant to be used for mitzvahs maror, b'charoises, of course, to dip the chazeres into charoises. More later will tell us the reason for it. Ushnei tavshtil, they bring him two cooked dishes. The more tell us this is zecher for the korban pesach, for the korban chagiga. Now, although we mentioned charoises, says the Mishnah, afal pishein charoises mitzvah, you meant to know it's not really a mitzvah, just a... More later gives us, it's a minig, it's not actually even a mitzvah de rabbanon. Rab Lezer, Rabbi Tzadik Omer, mitzvah. He maintains that it's a mitzvah, of course, not minat Torah, it's from the rabbanon. It's meant to be a zecher to the tit. The point of the maror is to re-experience the bitterness of the shibud mitzrayim. The pasuk says, vayimoros chayeim b'chomer b'lovenim. Therefore, Blessed Tzaddik maintains it's a mitzvah d'rabbanon to have something which resembles mortar and cement. The Rambam Pirshei Mishnah describes the making charoisi, you take all types of fruit and you crush them up and you put something sour in there. This way it looks like it resembles cement. Ube Migdash, at the time of the Isa Migdash, instead of Shnei Tavshilim, which was only a Zecher, Hayomivin Lefan of Gufi Shel Pesach, they would present them with the actual animal of the Pesach, or was brought on the table of the Seder. Let's take a look at the Rashbam, seven lines from the bottom. Masnisen, Hiviyu lefanav hayirokos, acha shebirach al yayin. After Kiddush, they serve the first portion of yirokos, metabel b'chazeres. Zeh loshon ha-gemara, k'disani l'il, hashamash metabel b'nei merayim. This was their practice, they would dip. V'shikol machol ma'idei tibul. V'hai tibul, says the Rashbam, is la b'charoises, it's not charoises. Meaning the first serving of vegetables was eaten without charoises. Charoises, according to Rashbam, was unique to the second serving of chazeres, which was for the mitzvah of maror. K'tanei l'kamon, as the Mishnah itself tells us later, havi lefanav matzah v'chazeres v'charoises. Michlal, apparently, that dain leviu, they haven't yet brought the charoises until the second portion of vegetables arrived for the mitzvah of maror. Atos is asked Akasha, he says the point of the charoises is to get rid of the poison or the worms, and when you have chazeres, you need charoises. So it was a health matter. So Tosfos asks on the Rashbam, in this case, in our Mishnah, where he actually brought chazeres for his first serving, and why isn't charoises needed? He actually brings from Rashi that you actually had charoises even on the first. At the first serving of vegetables, perhaps Rashi holds, even if it's celery, you need charoises. The point was to create that hecker, to do something unusual, and the more unusual it is, the better. This will get the kids interested. Continues the Rashbam. Now, although the Mishnah began with Hevi lefanav metabel b'chazeres, he meant to know, says the Rashbam, that v'chazeres lav dafka, you don't dafka need lettuce. Elam ein shom yerek acher metabel b'chazeres v'oichav, there's no other vegetables. The Mishnah allows you to bring chazeres even for the first serving. Atcha magel peperes hapas. That was the first serving, which preceded the main serving of maror, which came along with the matzah. Koidem shiagil oisa chazeres shu oichal achar matzah. That's called peperes hapas. Shu mavarach al achilas maror. That's going to be the main maror, on which he makes the bracha b'achilas maror. Lechsev al matzahs umaror. The pasuk says, betchila matzah. The proper sequence is first matzah, v'akach maror. That's really the main maror. V'tibul rishon zeh, what about the first tibul, the first serving of vegetables? That's not the mitzvah mara. It's only kadesh yaker tinek v'yishal, the child should see and start asking, because it's something unusual. If she'ein bnei adam regil nechel yerek kaid m'suda, it's not commonly done that vegetables precede the suda. Hevil ofanav achar oisei tibul matzav chazeres ubeis tavshil avishach oisei mitzvah. More parach, the more will ask, hoyv lav mitzvah. If it's not a mitzvah, lama maisla, so why does he bring it? Shnei tavshilin. Gemara will explain, connect me, what it corresponds to. Continues the Gemara. Omer Shlokish. Zoyisei meres. The fact that the Mishnah speaks about two servings of vegetable, why? Why is that needed? That teaches us a fundamental yesoid halacha. Zoyisei meres, mitzvahis tzriches kavan. Now all agree, the Vilna points this out, all agree that l'chatchil, when a person approaches kiyum a mitzvah, he's meant to have kavana. Gemara Darim says, asay dvarim l'shem perlon, asak ben l'shman, meant to do things l'shma. That's l'chatchil. But does it disqualify the mitzvah? Is it a critical element within the mitzvah to have kavana? Or perhaps just merely doing the masa mitzvah is enough? Perhaps the actual Masa, the act of the mitzvah, carries so much weight. It, by default, is considered a mitzvah. It's like you flip the switch on, the light goes on, whether or not you had kavana. Says Rish Lakish, no. Zoyisei meres, the mitzvah here teaches us. The Mishnah teaches us, the fact that the Mishnah speaks about a double portion of chazeres, indicating that he was not yoyse the first time around. Why? Zoyisei meres? Mitzvah is tzrichas kavana. Apparently, in order to be mekayim mitzvah, you have to have kavana for that mitzvah. Let's take a look at the Rashbam before we proceed. On the top line of the Rashbam, Zoyisei meres, mitzvah is tzrichas kavana. And that explains the Mishnah. Mishnah mochi, bo yitrei tibuli. That's why you need to have two servings of vegetables, of chazeres. Shlomo lo niskaven berishon l'shem mara. Perhaps he had no intent of fulfilling the mitzvah's mara with that first serving of chazeres. Hoyel u'birach lav bar pi adama. Kishay yirok is the alma. What bracha did he make on it? Just adama. Shara'in adayin achilas mitzvahs mar levarach lav. Because the time for the kiyum of mitzvahs achilas mar hasn't yet arrived. As the Rashbam told us in the Mishnah, it only happens after you bring the matzah. So the first proportion of chazeres in his mind was just a snack. He just made adama on it. The mar hasn't yet arrived. Levarach alav achilas mar al achar matzah. And since he had no kavana with that first serving, he had no kavana to mekayim a mitzvah, you have to do it all over again. Again, says the Gemara, Rav Shlokish, Zoyisei meres, we learn from here, mitzvah is tzrichas kavana. In order to be mekayim a mitzvah, you have to have the intent to be mekayim a mitzvah. That explains why we need a double serving of chazeres. Ki v'duloi b'inon chiyu v'demar hu da'achalei. Since the first serving, when did he have that? Teloy bi'idan chiyuv of the mar. It was outside the zman of the mar. It was still before the meal. Hu da'achilei, he ate it. Be'bar priyadam hu da'achilei. And he ate it just by saying bar priyadam. Without the achilas mar. V'dum lo yichav al mar. Chances are he didn't have kavana to apply it for his mitzvah's mar. Tosfos says dum as lavdafka means we assume. We rightfully assume that he had no kavana for mar. Hilchach boil mahadar. That's why he has to redo it. Ladbul shemar. He has to take another serving of chazeres for the sake of mar, which will happen later on during the meal. This al gadaitach mitzvah loy kavana. Because if you maintain that you don't need a kavana to become a mitzvah, once he had his mar, by default, it is credited to his account. If that's the case, lo malach tre tibuli. Why would you need two servings of chazeres? He already had the first serving, which is his mitzvah, even without kavana. Apparently, says Rish Lakish, you're not yaseh the first time around because it was not kavana. That's why you have to repeat the process all over again. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. Maybe mitzvahs don't need kavana. Even if a person does a masa mitzvah without intent, he has fulfilled a mitzvah. Mimai, how do you know that that's the correct approach? Dilma lo'ilam, mitzvah is eitz, shichas kavana. If a person does a mitzvah without kavana, he's yaitz. Udeka amas, What about the fact that you pointed to the Mishnah? What about your argument? Why then would you need two servings of vegetables? I'll tell you why. To make the hekka for the children. That's why he's going to repeat the process. The truth is, you know when he was yotze, his mitzvah's mar? The first time around. If he was served chazeres the first time around, he was already yotze. Despite the fact that it's shaloi bezmano, it's out of sequence, out of order. He only made hadda. He's yotze with that. He is yotze even without kavan. Why does he have to repeat the process? Why does he have to have chazeres again during the meal? Because the more unusual things we do, the better. So the children will notice and begin asking questions. V'chitema. Now Rish Lakish responds. If that's the case, if your approach is correct, that even without Kavana, you'd yaitse the mitzvah. And when he had Chazeres the first time around, he was already yaitse. Says Rish Lakish, but why does the Mishnah choose to present the case of the Seder here in the context of having Chazeres the first time around? Why do you have to get involved in confusing situations? According to you, what's preferred? What's the better way to do it? Of course, it would be better to have celery the first time around, which doesn't constitute mar, and have that as the hekker for the children, right? The pre-meal vegetables unusual, that'll create a hekker. And then during the meal, have your chazeres properly in sequence, matzah and then mar. So according to you, it's just getting us into trouble by having the chazeres the first time around as well. V'chitema, says Rish Lakish. Im kein, lashmi'inon shayirakas. If that's the case, perhaps you can say, im kein, if the whole reason for having the double dip here, the double portion of vegetables, is only for the hekker of the children, lashmi'inon shayirakas. The Mishnah should have described the first serving as vegetables, a vegetable as being shayir, as other vegetables. For instance, celery. Do that first. In which case, you're not getting entangled with the possible kiyum of the mitzvah of mar, out of place, out of sequence. It's a clear solution to the problem. Just have celery. And then, come the Suda, have true mar. In which case, you'd be mekayim your mitzvah. Why then does the Mishnah describe the first portion of vegetable as being chazeres? Which just confuses matters. Wouldn't shayirakas be preferred? So again, this is Rish Lakish responding to you. You're telling me mitzvahs ain't shriches kavan. If one ate chazeres the first time around, even without intent, he was mekayim mitzvah smar. Why does he do it all over again later? He was already Mekayim before. He's doing it again because he wants to show something for the kid. He wants to do something unusual. Another dip. Says Rish Lakish, according to you, wouldn't it be better if he wouldn't get involved in this confusing situation? Wouldn't it be better to have other yerukis, other varieties for the first serving? Don't get involved in lettuce. Have one dip for the sake of the kids. Celery, which is not mar. And then proceed with the suda and have your mar in its proper time. Oh, apparently, says Rish Lakish, I have a right to my shita. That's why the Mishnah speaks about double chazeres. You know why? To teach us this very halacha, that mitzvah is tzriches kavana. The Mishnah is highlighting this halacha. And that's why the Mishnah presents it as such. There was once chazeres, another time chazeres. And what is this teaching us? That even though he had chazeres the first time around, he was not yaitze, because there was no kavana for mitzvah. And the true mitzvah only takes place a second time. So that is the reason why the Mishnah brought chazeres to the table both times to teach us this halacha that he had yotze the first time, even though he had chazeres, because mitzvah tzichus kavan. This is Rish Lakish's response. And now the other view, the opposing view, the one that opposes Rish Lakish, responds in kind. Do you want to know why the Mishnah speaks about chazeres both times, which seems to create a confusing situation? I'll tell you why. Truthfully speaking, mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana. And once you have chazeres the first time around, you're yotze. Why does the Mishnah have to get involved and tangle in this type of situation? Why doesn't it just present it as the first time around being shai yirakos, celery? V'yashmi'inam. I'yashmi'inam. Shai yirakos. If that would have been the case, the Mishnah would have described the first portion as being other vegetables. Havamina, perhaps I would say, Heichadika shai yirakos, who would be in and trade tibuli. When he has access to other varieties of vegetables, he has access to celery the first time around. In that case, we say, well, celery is not mar. Perfect. You're not yotze the first time around. It's just for the kids. And then, come the sudo, you'll have your true mar. It's only because you can work it out this way. We allow it. Aval chazeres l'chuda, lo yiboy trei tibuli, but suppose he only has chazeres. In that case, I would think, don't disrupt the sequence of the Seder. No. Don't have two portions. Don't bring it once before the Seder, in which case you'll already be yotzei your mitzvah. Right? We hold ein tzrichus kavana. And then bring it again during the meal, in which case you're really disrupting the sequence because you're being yotzei mer before the meal out of order. So perhaps the need to do things unusual for the sake of the children, that factor doesn't carry enough weight, does not supersede the need to do mar in its proper sequence. Aval chazeres chodah, if only has chazeres, lo yiboy trei tibuli, we don't make two dips. Kamash malar, comes the Mishnah and tells you, no, da afilu chazeres be'inan trei tibuli, even when you only have access to chazeres, bring it twice. Serve it once before the meal, in which case you're going to be yotzei your mitzvah then, even though it's out of sequence. And then bring it again during the meal. Because the more unusual things you do, it'll get the kids going. Ki eched lehavi be'ker le'tinoikas, to create that hekka for the children. So the bottom line is, we have no raya from the Mishnah. Rish Lakish attempted to bring raya from the Mishnah. The fact that we discussed chazeres twice, what's the point of discussing chazeres twice? Apparently, is to teach us that the first time around you weren't yotze because there's no kavana, and you only yotze the second time. The other shita disagrees. No, this was ein tzrichas kavana. Once you ate mar, you're yotze automatically. And the reason why the Mishnah presents it as a double serving of chazeres is to teach us how important this heker l'tinoikas is, how much weight it carries. It's Pesach. It's Yigadol Lebincha. It supersedes the requirement to have mar in its proper sequence. That's tremendous chiddush here. And that's the point of the Mishnah. If you only have chazeres, don't hesitate. Bring it twice. Once before the Seder, in which case you're going to be yotze. Because even without kavana, you're yotze. Even though it's going to disrupt the sequence, you're going to have mar before the matzah. It's not the way it's meant to be done. Do it anyways. To create that heker situation. Arrange your Seder for the children. Do it once before the meal, be yotze them, and do it again during the meal, even though you already yotze. The hekla tenoikos is the most important factor. So in summary, we have a shaila whether mitzvah tzrichos kavana. Rish Lakish says yes, you're not yotze unless you have proper intent. We have the opposing shita which says no, you yotze without kavana. Then we have two approaches. Regarding our the pshat in the Mishnah. Mishnah said he had chazeres twice. Rish Lakish says, that's right to me. Mishnah is trying to teach us, even though he had chazeres before the meal, because there was no kavana there, because it was out of the order, it was without the bracha, apparently there was no kavana there, therefore he's not yetz, he's only yetz later on during the meal, and that's the point of the Mishnah, to teach us that you're not yetz without kavana. The opposing view holds, no! Certainly you're yetz without kavana. You were yetz the first time around. The Mishnah presents it as a double portion of chazeres to teach us that even in this case, you meant to follow through, do it in two phases, one before the meal, one during the meal, even though you're going to be yotze with the one before the meal, which is shalei b'mkayimai. It's out of sequence, out of order. Do it anyways for the sake of heker l'tinoikos. V'oy tanya continues the Gemara. We have another braisa which seems to actually negate Rish Lakish's shita. A braisa which tells us that even without kavana yotze, achlon demai, if he ate the murr, which was made from which consisted of demai produce purchased from Ma'aretz, in which case you don't know if there was ma'isa separated, but the rabbanim may not eat it. Yotza, he's still yotze. It's only a chumra derabbanan. We assume most Ma'aretz take off ma'aser, but the evidence works. Ochlam b'lo miskaven yotza. Oh, he ate the mar even without kavana. He's yotze. A clear raya that you don't need kavana. Price concludes. Ochlam lechatzon yotza. If he split up the mur, he had a half a kazayas now, half a kazayas later, his yoytzei, as long as it's close enough in proximity, uvat shelo yisha, bein achil al chaverto, yoysim dechilas pras, as long as it doesn't wait, the shear of a suda is worth of time, achilas pras, a pras is a half a loaf of time it takes to eat a suda, some say it's 2 minutes, 4 minutes, 9 minutes, whatever it is, as long as the mur, the complete kazayas, from beginning to end, was eaten within the shear of a suda. Then it's mitzaref. In any case, we see that even without kavana, you're yoytzei in zakashem or shlokish. Shlokish is not meir. A brisa is more authoritative than not meir. So it's more tanoi. Indeed, it's actually machlokes tanoi. We found a brisa, a tana in support of shlokish. The sign you're biyosiyem. Avak bishativil bechazeres. Even though he had the first portion consisting of chazeres, since it was before the suda, out of sequence, in which case there was no kavana to kind of mitzvah. He has to redo it. Mitzvah lo havel lefanav, chazeres, v'charoises, v'shnei tavshilim. Apparently, mitzvah is tzrichas kavana, like Rish Lakish. So, how do you know that's pshat Rabbi Yosi? V'akati, and still, mimai, how do you know that's a pshat? Mimai, dilma kasav Rabbi Yosi, mitzvah is ain't tzrichas kavana. Perhaps he holds, a mitzvah does not need kavana for fulfillment. V'haydeb, ain't it tzrichas tibuli? If so, why does Rabbi Yosi say you have to bring another serving of vegetables? Not because you weren't yoitz, of course you were yoitz. You bring it again for the hacker. How do you know Rabbi Yosi holds like Rish Lakish that he wasn't Yaitse the first time around? He was Yaitse. He has to redo it to create a scene for the kids. MK in my mitzvah. If that's the case, then why would Rabbi Yosi say that even though we had a first serving of chazeres, mitzvah, lohavi lefan of chazeres. Mitzvah means he was not Yaitse that mitzvah. Right? He has a chi of mitzvah to bring it again. Apparently, he wasn't yaitzeh the first time around because he had no kavana to mekayim the mitzvah. So in any case, we have machlokes tanoim. Rabbi Yosi holds mitzvah is tzrichas kavana, like Rish Lakish. We have the Braisa, which said clearly, the mitzvah is ain't tzrichas kavana. Kadini zegemara, let's go back to the Mishnah. You bring two cooked foods. Maishnei tavshilin. What exactly is this? Omer avhuna? It doesn't have to be meat. If it's meat, it's okay. But even silka, even a dish made from beets, va'aroiza, from rice, that's okay. Anything cooked creates that resemblance to the cooked karbanis, to the actually roasted karbanis. The pesach, the chagig, the besamidish. Rava, listen to this. Rava have a mahader? He would go after a silka va'aroiza, beets and rice, even though he could have had meat. He preferred that hoil v'nafik be pumi darafuna because it came out of the mouth of his Rebbe Darafuna. He wanted to show chavivus, dearness to the halacha that his Rebbe said. Therefore, he followed Pesach at the time of tradition. Following tradition, he followed the words, the literal words of his Rebbe. Amar Ravashi, shma minom darafuna. We see from the fact that Darafuna tells us to use rice. Apparently, cooked rice doesn't pose a chametz concern. Lest the chayish l'ha. The Rabbi Chaminuri. We don't hold the Rabbi Chaminuri, who holds otherwise. The Sani, Rabbi Chaminuri, Aymer, Oyriz min Daganu. Rice is a type of grain. It's within the grain family. V'chayyav and alchimutze karas. If it turns into chametz and one eats it, it gets karas. It's considered true leavening, true chimutz. V'adam yoytze by dechvasi v'pesach. If it turns into matzah, yoytze. But we don't hold that way. The Chacham disagree. Taisus brings the Gemara earlier in the Masechta. Even though it looks like it's getting bloated and rising, that's not true chimetz. It's called sirach, and it's some type of spoilage. That's not the chimetz that the Torah was speaking about. Therefore, there's no karis, and you can't use it for matzah, because you remember matzah is synonymous with karis, something which can be with chametz, something which can become chametz, turned into matzah is considered matzah. But oiriz, which doesn't have chametz potential, according to Rabbanan, cannot be used for matzah as well. In any case, Rav Huna clearly disagrees with Rav Yechamanuri. He allows halacha l'maisa to eat rice. And that's really the halacha l'maisa. Beis Yesu says that, it brings the whole thing about kidneys and rice, and he says that we're not choishes except for the Ashkenazim, who refrain from eating beans and rice. So pi halacha it's mutter, but it's a chumrah that the Ashkenazim adopted, because it's close in nature to it resembles grain, it could be confused with grain, many reasons. So we have the minhag of refraining from kidneys, but pi halacha it's mutter. Okay, getting back to the Shnei Tavshilin. So one version was beets and rice. Chizki Amar, afilu dog ubeit ha-shalof. Even if you have an egged fish, they would smear some egg over the fish. That's also considered two tavshil, even though you would say perhaps the egg is secondary to the dog, it's just smeared. That's also considered, also qualifies as Shnei Tavshil. Rav Yosef Amar, he says no. Sorech Shnei Mini Basar. You need two types of meat. Echad zerch lePesach, one as he remembers of the Korban Pesach, veEchad zerch lChagiga, one to remember the Chagiga. Now, what does Shnei Mini Basar mean? We'll see soon in the Rashbam. Let's just finish up one more line. Ravina Amar, Afilu Garma Bishula. Apparently, he's following the Shita of Rav Yosef that you need something meaty, but he says even a garma, a bone with some meat, Bishula and the soup, that's also considered Shnei Tavshilin. It's considered two entities. Let's take a look at the Rashbam, seven lines from the bottom. This is Rav Yosef speaking. Shnei mini basar. Tzli. What do you mean shnei mini basar? It doesn't mean two different varieties of meat. It means it's prepared differently. One is roasted, tzli, connected to Pesach, corresponding to the Pesach, which was roasted. Umevushal, the other one is meant to be cooked, connected to Chagiga, corresponding to Chagiga, which was cooked. So according to Rav Yosef, it's not enough to have cooked items. He says it has to truly resemble those korbanos. You have to experience the way it was during the Zman HaMikdash. Therefore, you have to have meat. And the way the Rashbam presents it, the meat has to be prepared the same way the korbanos were prepared. And look at the last line of the Rashbam. Kach piresh Rabbeinu Chanan al Miroimi. Who holds that it has to be prepared in this manner? In a manner which mirrors, which emulates the actual original Korban Pesach Chagiga, is Rabbi Chanan al Miroim. That's the Pirush of Rabbi Chanan we have on the side of the Gemara. Rabbi Chanan al Miroim. Now listen to this. He mentions Rabbi Chanan al and his hometown, Roim. Something unusual. Now, interesting, at Tosfos brings a different Shita. He says, Shnei Mini Basar doesn't necessarily mean that one is going to be roasted, one is going to be cooked. He says, they're both cooked. But Rabbi Chanan al Miroimi holds that it needs to be prepared differently. It needs to resemble the original Korban Pesach and Korban Chagig. What's fascinating is, and perhaps it explains things, because back in earlier Perek, Makom Shenagu, we had something else regarding Rome. Toidesh Ish Roimi. The Gemara says that we're actually not meant to have, we're not meant to eat roasted meat Pesach at night, because it appears like it's going to be like the Korban Pesach, and like you're eating kachin b'chutz. We're not meant to have it. The Gemara brings a story of this person called Toidus Ishraimi, great man, a leader of the community in Rome, who actually established a minhag to the contrary. He was manhig that they would actually roast their meat the same way they would roast the Korban Pesach. In the same manner, same configuration, the entire animal as one. And they would eat roasted meat Pesach at night. And the Chacham sent a message, if not for the fact that you're such a great man, we would have put you in Cherem, it's inappropriate, but he held differently. And the Farshim explained, he wanted them to re-experience the Seder the way it was in the time of Samidush. Zeichel Pesach. He felt it was actually something positive to do things which resembled, which was similar in nature to the time, the Pesach and time of the Mikdash. Now perhaps it relates to here as well. The Yidden in Rome, this was the place where they were brought from the Eretz Yisrael. They were living in the citadel of the Romans, of the Roman Empire, the Golas Edom, and they needed that chizik, that they need to identify and re-experience the experience that we had in the Beis Hamikdash time. Therefore, Toidus Davka wanted them to have their meat the same way the Korban Pesach was done. And here as well, Rabbi Chanan holds that Rabbi Yosef, who says you have the two tafshilin, zech lepesach chagiga, shnei mini basar, he holds, it's not enough that it's basar. It has to be prepared in accordance with the way the Pesach and Chagiga were prepared. This one has to be tzoli, zech lepesach, this one, mebusha, zech lechagiga. So not only you have some sort of signpost, like the other shittas hold, a cook dish is enough, some sort of zecher. No, we want to re-experience it. In Rome, that's the approach they adopted. Let's re-experience, let's relive the Seder as it was in the time of the Samidosh, exactly the way it was then. Interesting. Continues the Gemara. Let's go back to Mar. Pshita. Now, in the following case, we have no question. Heichad ikar shay yirakos. If he has access to other vegetables, and that's going to be brought the first time around, mevarach ashar yirakos ber pri adamo. So the first time around, what we call karpas, that deserves a hadama. That's all. He's not going to be yotzi mara now. It's celery. V'achol, he eats it. V'hadar mevarach al achilas mara v'achol. And then later on during the meal, when he brings the second portion, now it's going to be proper mara. Then he makes the bracha of Hashem Kirchanu, al achilas mara, and he eats it. However, says the Gemara, heicha deleka elachasa. Let's say he only has access to lettuce. My, what should he do here? Now, according to the shita that holds, the mitzvah is ein tzriches kavan, we already discussed that earlier, he brings two portions of chazeres. The first, he's going to be yotze with, and then he makes hadama, and al achilas mar, because that's the mar that he's using to be yotze the mitzvah. And then the second time around, he brings mar again without any bracha, because he's ready yotze. The gemara will be following Rish Lakish's shita, who holds mitzvah is tzriches kavan. And therefore, when he brings lettuce around the first time, he's not going to be yotze with that. It's out of sequence. There's no kavana to be yotze. He's going to bring it once, not going to be yotze, and then bring it again during the meal and be yotze with that. Now, what do we do regarding brachas? We have two opinions. Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Amar Rav Huna. Mivarech miikar amar bar pri adama. On that first serving of chazeres, he's going to make bar pri adama. Va'achal and eat it. And really, he's going to be yotze his mitzvah. With that. According to Rav Huna, he's not going to be Yotze the mitzvah now. Right? Because mitzvah tzichus kavana. So all he does is hadam. Ula b'soif, but later on during the meal, when he brings another portion, that's the true mara. Mevorach alei al achilas mara v'achal. Then he makes the bracha, v'ashag yitshonu mitzvah al achilas mara. He doesn't make hadam because he already made it earlier. Rashbam says, with that hadam, he's mitzi. He's mitzi the chazes which comes later on. The second portion is the one for the mitzvah, which requires the achilas mara. V'achal, and he has the chazeres, he eats it l'shem mitzvah. That's Rav Huna's approach. So the first portion just gets the hadamah. The second portion, which is actually the one that he's going to use to be yoy to the mitzvah, that requires al achilas mara. Maskel al-chizav, chizav challenged this. Doesn't look good. Once he filled himself with chazeres the first time around, it looks funny. That now, the second time around, he's going to make achilas mara. It's chucha v'telula. It looks ludicrous. La'acha shemile kreisei mena. Once he filled himself with the first portion of mara, choyze mevarach aleha. The second time around, he's going to make the achilas mara. It doesn't sit well. Elam Rav Chisda, listen to this chiddush. Rav Chisda maintains, mi'ikara mevarach aleha b'yir pri adam. On that first serving of chazeres, he makes adama ve'al achilas mara. Even though he's not going to be yotze the mitzvah now, he makes the bracha of achilas mara, ba'achal and eats it. Ula basayf, and later on, the second portion comes around, achal achilas chasa, he eats the vegetable, but lay bracha without a bracha, even though that's going to be the kima mitzvah. Asks Taisus, what do you mean? How could he make a bracha on the first portion, which is a non mitzvah serving? Says Taisus, it's okay because since he initiates, he begins eating lettuce at that point, even though he's not doing the mitzvah now. The bracha applies itself to the achila, which extends all the way to the second portion, which is during the meal, which is going to be used to be yotzei's mitzvah. So in summary, we have two portions of vegetables. Now, when we have access to other vegetables, he'll bring that for the first portion, makes adama, and the second time around, he brings real mar, in which case he makes al-achilas mar. In the case when he only has access to chazeres, then we have machlekes. If you hold mitzvahs ain't tzriches kavana, in which case he's going to be yotze with that first serving, makes adama and achilas mara on the first serving. If you hold tzriches kavana, in which case he's not yotze with that first serving, Rav Huna says, okay, so all you do is Hadamah on the first serving, and the bracha, Ashakichon, Al-Achilas Mar, you do on the second serving, which is the sake of the mitzvah. Rav Chisda disagrees. He says, you make both brachas Hadamah and Achilas Mar on that first serving, even though the mitzvah will be in the sky with the second serving. Continues the Gemara, Besuria Avdik Rav Huna and Suria, they followed Rav Huna's Shita, that Al-Achilas Mar is recited later. Rav Sheshes, Beit Rav Yeshua, of it, Rav Chisda yelled that the bracha of Achilas Mar is said on that first serving, indeed, that is the halach. Rav Acha, Brei de Rava, he avoided machlekes, mahadar, asha yirakes, he would seek to find other yirakes, la fuki nafshim plukta, to avoid machlekes. He would take a celery for the first portion, make adama, and then second time around use marr, in which case he would make the alachilas marr, and this is something which is agreed upon by all. Okay, so today we learned about spending within one's limits. You make bracha v'agofen, and then the bracha of kiddush hayayim, and we learned the machlekes, whether or not mitzvah is tzricha is kavan. All the best, not slacha rabba.